Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the AfriCast. My name is Brendan Lotz, and joining me in studio today is Robin Chetty.
How's it going?
And Clinton Matos.
Hey, that's me. Hello, everybody.
How is everybody doing this week?
It's been a long one.
Yeah, that's why it's Thursday and not Wednesday, as we normally record this. Yesterday was a bit of a crazy one. We were both at events. And Tuesday night
was
Apple's big thing, and that segues nicely into our first topic of conversation. So Apple had its annual September keynote, which is where they usually present their phones. But what, tell us more about it, Robin.
Yeah, so it was interesting, not because of the devices that are actually shown off. I was more intrigued by the fact that Apple kicked off things talking about some of their services, specifically Apple Arcade, their new gaming platform, and then Apple TV Plus.
Yeah.
It might be a stretch for me to say this, but I think there is certainly now a shift in Apple's thinking when it comes to hardware and services. I think services are definitely getting...
I wanted to keep quiet for as long as possible, but I have to agree with you, because usually Apple kicks these things off with, this is how many iPhones we've sold, this is how many Macs there are, this is how many iPads we sold, but there was none of that this year. It was straight into Apple Arcade and then straight into Apple TV Plus from there.
Yeah, so I think let's first kick off with the services. So Apple Arcade, as you may or may not know, that's a new gaming platform. They're planning to have around about 100 plus titles available at launch. And with regards to the launch, Apple Arcade will be available from 19th September. And they are saying they're going to be roughly... Let me just say, I think it's 150 odd countries.
Wasn't it 100 plus countries? Yeah. Was that Apple?
I think TV Plus was 100
plus,
and then Apple Arcade was 150 countries.
Okay.
Unfortunately, there's no mention of South Africa in that 150. We're assuming that it is purely for the fact that there is an Apple Arcade landing page for South Africa.
Yeah, and we're also now part of the first release, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I know that if you are subscribed to Apple locally or any iStore, you probably would have gotten emails about the new iPhone 11s.
Yeah.
But nothing yet about Apple Arcade. So we're still a little bit in the dark as to when that's coming for South Africa. But for the rest of the world, it should be on 19th September, so next week. And it's going to cost you $5 a month, which isn't bad.
I mean,
So let me ask you something about those games, right? Are they going to have mobile game microtransactions?
So they had a couple of developers on stage showcasing the games. Obviously, the focus there was really on gameplay and kind of what's so exciting about the games.
But yeah, they didn't pop open the in-store, the in-game store, and be like, best offer, 100 gems for $1,000 or whatever.
No, nothing like that. But I think if you are kind of wary of those kind of things, the first month is free.
Oh, okay.
On Apple Arcade, so it's worthwhile just trying it out and see if there are kind of microtransactions and you're like, nah, it's not for me, then yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there are some big name developers like Ubisoft and Capcom and
Devolver, we just
Devolver
found out
Digital.
Today.
They were displayed on the night.
They showed off a new game that looks really cool. Yeah, we'll get to that at the end, but they are making new stuff. This isn't just ports. There's something called Exit the Gungeon, which is a spin-off of Into the Gungeon, which is my favorite game of the last decade or so. It's really good. So I'm psyched for that, but I don't own...
So you're going to buy an iPhone then?
No, well, it's a launch
exclusive. Moving on swiftly then.
Yes.
You should probably play it on iPad, I think. I think iPad was probably the best medium if you're going to...
I should probably not give Apple any of my money. what about the TV stuff?
So TV Plus, that was a service they announced a couple of months ago. They had like a standalone event for it along with the Apple News platform as well. That's also going to be $5 a month, and it's launching on 1st November. Again, we don't know if it's coming to South Africa, but there is a local landing page, so we're assuming that it will eventually be available.
Yeah.
And they are really pushing a lot of original content. Some of the shows that they showed off is one called C, with Jason Momoa Aquaman and Game of Thrones fame.
I can't believe it's just called C.
Well, is it me or there being like a lot of movies where...
People
future,
are blind. Yeah, no. I thought exactly the same thing. I was like, again?
Yeah, so...
Again?
There's that to, I guess, look forward to for some people. There's also a show with Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon called The Morning Show. Another one called Dickinson, which is, I guess, a new age take on the story of Emily Dickinson. Another one called For All Mankind. So there's a whole bunch of content that they're working on. And I'm interested to see how much money they're actually going to invest, because we've seen the likes of Netflix pour bucket loads of money into original content, and we don't know if it's actually yielding dividends for them, because obviously the platforms are very popular, but
how much investment
do you have to make in order to actually get the return that you're wanting?
Absolutely. And I mean, like, we're seeing now Netflix is also starting to go to cinema releases so that it gets Oscar nods. And like, that's something that I think obviously Apple TV is going to have to look at, and or Apple TV Plus, sorry. It's very interesting how Apple is going all in on these services, but how all in is it going to go? I do wonder.
Well,
I mean, Steve Carell, Jennifer Aniston, Reese Witherspoon, those are some big names for a TV series. And if it's popular, that could end up costing Apple billions at the end of the day. But I don't know.
Yeah, I think we'd have to see where they're going to be adding other content. Like, kind of like what Netflix do. You get licenses for Friends. Well, not anymore.
Not anymore.
No one gets
But those kinds of popular shows, if they're added to the mix as well, then I think it'll start making a bit more sense.
Yeah.
To me, it's a lot like Disney Plus, where unless you're a diehard MCU fan and you really want all that Marvel content, it makes a lot of sense. If not, I'm not too sure.
You can pass it on, yeah.
So that's kind of the services side of things. And now the devices, which were,
meh.
Yeah. So there are three new iPhones that are coming. The first is the iPhone 11, which is a model that they bring out in six different colors for some reason. There's purple, like a almost like a pistachio green, yellow, white, black, and then obviously product red, which is the
social responsibility brand.
Yeah,
it's like
NGO kind of thing. So in terms of specifications, there's nothing really groundbreaking here. Perhaps the only thing worthwhile noting is the new A13 Bionic.
Yeah, that's really the only thing.
And it's weird because although that's a new chipset and obviously Apple's saying this is the most advanced, this is the best ever we've ever made, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's also the same chipset that's in the iPhone 11 Pro and the iPhone 11 Pro,
Max. Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not too sure how special of a processor it is. We'll have to obviously have to try and get them some in hand and check them out to see really if they're worthwhile.
I mean, I've just been reading some reports, and that apparently the A13 is a 20% performance improvement on the A12 Bionic chip. I don't know what that 20% improvement is in, because Apple is very famous at not telling you exactly.
It's just 20%, Brendan. Okay.
Just 20% overall better. It looks better. Even.
We like it 20% more.
But yeah, that's the performance figures that I've seen. And it's just like you say. It's kind of like, okay, so what's so special about this?
Yeah. Also, if you look on the back of these phones, they have a very ugly camera array.
So hideous.
Dual lens for the iPhone 11. Both 12 megapixel, one's wider angle and one's super wide.
Yeah, ultra wide.
Oh, sorry, ultra wide.
Ultra wide.
And yeah, that's not really a groundbreaking setup. I mean, we've seen the likes of Huawei, LG, Samsung all do that previously.
I mean, there's Samsung budget phones for under like $6,000 that have ultra wide cameras.
Yeah, well, I think it's the A7, I think it has something like four cameras.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure. I'm assuming that A13 Bionic is going to have to do a lot of heavy lifting to make sure that images are great when you take pics. But again, we'll have to test out the cameras first to see if they're actually worthwhile.
Yeah.
And then moving on to the iPhone 11 Pro and Pro Max. When Apple unveiled the devices, they were very particular in mentioning this is the first time that you've ever used Pro for the naming of a phone. Great to know that.
Such courage, Apple. The such name courage.
20% more Pro.
So I guess one of probably the most notable thing you'll see is that there are three
cameras
on the back. So wide angle, ultra wide, and telephoto, which again is something we saw with the Huawei Mate 10 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So I'm really hoping that A13 Bionic is doing like amazing things in the back.
Okay, but here's the thing, right? Okay, throughout Apple's presentation, the one thing that I picked up every time they spoke about the photo is, here is how professional photographers and directors use our camera.
Directors.
Listen, Mr. Phil Schiller, right? Those people are not buying your phones, or they're not the majority of people buying your phones. The person at home that has an iPhone 8 and is considering upgrading is not looking at that and going, wow, I'm going to make a movie. No, they're going, but how's it going to work when my child is running through the house and I want to snap a photo of him in his unicorn outfit? How's it going to perform then? That's what I want to see. I think the problem is that every single one of the things that they showed was using professional lighting. There was a professional person on that camera, somebody with a gimbal. Okay, so
yeah,
cool, you showed me all of this, but this is all professional grade stuff that I don't have access to. Show me what it's like when I'm out with my mates on a hike when I've got 20% battery, what that photo is going to look like in full daylight on the screen. Show me what it's like at night when I'm in the club with my mates and I want to take a photo to commemorate the moment. Like, show me that stuff. I don't want to see what the professional does. I'm not a professional. And Apple, with its failing sales, should recognize that and direct stuff at the people.
Yeah, I read a great piece by The Verge, and they're kind of saying that, like, Apple's now playing catch-up with their cameras, and it's pretty bang on.
They're playing catch-up with everything, though. I mean, what was exciting about those iPhones? Nothing.
True.
It's
in green. You get it like an
immediate. I don't care if it's in green. I'm going to put a cover on it anyway.
Brendan, I'm tired of your complaining. Do you know how many quality memes we've gotten? That's exciting.
Yeah,
it's only been a few days. I know what you mean. I'm just playing around.
It's just like Apple is supposed to be this company that sets the bar, right? They remove the 3.5 millimeter jack. What happens to the market? Everybody ditches it. They put a notch in their screen. What happens? A month later, everybody's got a notch in their screen. Like, Apple is that company that you look at and go, well, how are you going to push things forward? And now they just aren't. I mean, I look at Samsung's releases this year and go, oh, wow, you actually did something really awesome here. Like, as much as the Note 10 isn't possibly the most exciting thing, there's clear improvements that they've made to that series of phones. What is different from the iPhone 11 Pro to the X or the XS series? Nothing. I mean, you've got a slightly better processor, cool, but what other improvements have you made? You're not using USB Type-C. Mm-hmm. You've got three cameras, so what? Your competitors have had those for years. All-day battery life? That's your claim? Cool, bro. This phone's been going for 2 days, and it's only now on 20% battery.
This phone being?
The Samsung Galaxy S10.
Yeah, just so everyone knows.
Right?
Audio medium.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to be dramatic, guys.
Yeah, sorry to ruin your end.
But yeah, I just feel like this presentation clearly showed me that Apple just doesn't know what it's doing anymore.
Well, I think that for this year at least, hardware isn't top of mind for them.
Fair enough. I mean,
I'll give them the benefit of the doubt in terms of probably being held back by the fact that there's no 5G available yet. And I would assume that next year's iPhone will probably be a bit more exciting.
That's kind of their fault, though.
Fair, yeah.
I mean, this is all a result of Apple. And like, I do appreciate the fact as well that there is a trade war going on with China and that Apple's parts and manufacturing might be put at risk here. So maybe it decided to play it safe this year. But maybe you should have thought of this before you created the phone. It feels like they phoned this entire release in. Everything from, like,
their iPhone didn't.
I phoned it in. Even the iPad is really disappointing. I mean, it's the same chip as the sixth generation, same camera as the sixth generation.
But they made the screen bigger.
They made the screen bigger, so it's going to use more battery life now. So is your battery bigger as well? I doubt it, because you've now added, what, like another 4 inches to your screen.
No, but it's bigger though.
What annoys me the most is that Apple's marketing is so good, people are already losing their minds. Oh, I can't wait to use this phone. Why? There's a Huawei that you can use that was released this year that has a better camera than your iPhone,
To be fair to South Africa, though, I think that perception is changing locally. I think a lot of South African consumers are wising up to the fact that iPhone, between iterations, isn't really doing that much.
Mm.
So I would be interested to see kind of what iPhone's sales are for the first two quarters of 2020.
Yeah.
Because there has been a steady decline in terms of iPhone sales. It's been propped up by iPad and Apple Watch sales. Mm. On the devices side, obviously MacBook and iMac as well. So I foresee that trend kind of continuing because these iPhone 11s, these three phones that they've brought forward are very lackluster.
Mm.
I'm surprised we didn't get something that folds. Like, even if they don't have it ready.
I think they are so far
just,
behind.
Just yeah. Have, like, a silhouette of something folding open.
No, because then you have another situation like the wireless charging pad that never came to light. I mean, like, I think Apple is very, very good at the, we'll only show you something when it's ready, unlike
I think I think one of those probably the most telling thing, and people probably didn't notice it, but for the iPhone 11 and Pro and Pro Max, they had like a design video talking about how it's made from stainless steel, yeah, blah blah blah. And usually those design videos are narrated by Sir Johnny Ive.
Yeah.
And they had some random voice on.
It was actually quite jarring not hearing him. It was such like a, oh,
this is not Apple that I
know. You are going for like some funky thing now. Some dude who's like, oh, and the watch, you can tell
the time.
What? That's what you did? What's that? What is that, Apple? Come on. Really? You're so, like, I just watched that whole thing and I got bored most of the time. And there were times where I was sitting there going, could we maybe watch a 3-hour Huawei conference instead? Please. Because there's more information there for me.
I don't know if I would... The CEO of Huawei, Richard Yu.
That man can talk.
Yeah, that's an intense individual on stage.
Okay, do we have any idea about these phones coming to South Africa yet?
There is no local pricing availability yet. Like I said, Apple and iStore kind of sent out emails saying, get ready.
Coming soon,
blah, blah, blah. So we don't know yet. So if you are stateside, they're already available for pre-order. So
we don't know when it's coming. Give us your money.
Yeah. So the iPhone 11, which is the one that comes in 6 different colors, that comes in at $699.
Yeah.
The iPhone 11 Pro is $999, and then the iPhone 11 Pro Max is $1,099. So lots of money.
Yeah. Same as what like the last year's models were.
Yeah.
So
I would be interested to know if these tariff trade wars and stuff like that has any effect on the pricing.
Well, that's what I'm looking forward to seeing this year when the local pricing gets announced, to see if that's had an effect.
Yeah, there's obviously the usual inflation, but will the tariff man's effect be had as well? So yeah, interesting times. I wouldn't say exciting times for Apple.
I think Apple is a company to keep an eye on in the next couple of years. I want to say months, but I mean, they only release a phone every year. So.
Yeah, I suspect they'll be jamming down a lot more services down people's throats than hardware.
Yeah, Apple Music advertising incoming.
I'm surprised they don't also offer, like, if you take both of those services, they'll give them to you for like $7.50 instead of $10.
No, we got to make our money.
Apple's got to make that money.
I'm just surprised, like, I don't know, iPhone Plus for $20 and you get everything. Something I also want to know, so, you know, you said you didn't like the design of the phone. A lot of people buy Apple stuff because they say it looks nice. But are people really looking at these phones being like, yes, that's a good looking phone?
I think when you look back, maybe iPhone 4, iPhone 5, or even iPhone 6, the design and the aesthetics are really nice. XS, X, the aesthetic has really gone down in my estimation.
I don't think I could tell. If you put an iPhone 11, 11 Pro, 11 Pro Max face down looking at me, I don't know if I'd be able to tell you that which one is which.
Yeah, it's...
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
What's that thing? People were like, oh, Steve Jobs would never let that be sent out.
I don't know. Like, I don't know so much.
People have been saying that for a long time, but would he look at that new phone and be like, that's something we're going to put out?
I don't know. Anyway. I think he'd look and go and say...
I do wonder if Tim Apple actually...
He was very subdued throughout that press conference, just by the way. Like, usually he's got a little bit of excitement about him, but
he's bored too, dude.
Maybe. I wouldn't be surprised.
Maybe he was in the engineering shop making the next phone. Maybe. He's there himself.
He's super tired, guys.
He was on his CAD program the whole night. I can't get these three cameras to look proper. We're going to have to do this weird oblong pattern.
Oh, man. Okay. All right. Anything else from the Apple thing that we should take note of?
Nothing to take note of.
Okay. That's all right. Moving on. Clinton, you want to tell us about a TV series that's not on TV?
Yes. Cobra Kai. So this was announced a while ago. I'll tell you why we're speaking about it now, because it is quite old now. When it was announced and people first got wind of it, they were like, no, I'm not going to watch that. That seems like nonsense. So what Cobra Kai is... It's an online TV show that is a continuation of the Karate Kid movies. So it takes
place... Oh, sweet, Lil Bow Wow.
Yeah, no, not that one.
They did Kung Fu. They did Kung Fu in that movie, so it's not the Karate Kid.
It's the original trilogy. Okay, takes place in modern day, after those three movies, and all of the characters that are still alive are back.
Okay.
So the Karate Kid himself, Ralph Macchio, Johnny Lawrence, William Zabka.
Shoot the leg, Johnny.
Yeah. And then a few other characters return, but I'm not going to say who does because it's kind of a spoiler.
Okay.
But if there's any character who is in those movies who's still alive, you can bet they're probably going to be in the show make at a some debut. Point. You can just guess. And I'm like, yeah, probably. I am going to say the guy who plays John Kreese, Martin Cove.
Yeah.
He's in it. And he's like, I don't know how old he is. I think he's 80 something, but he still looks good. Like, he's in that thing. He's 73. And you see him, and you're like, damn.
Some people just don't age, man.
It's karate, dude. It keeps you young. So I'm bringing it up now for two reasons. One is that YouTube is doing something different with it, because in the past to watch it, you needed a YouTube Red and then YouTube Premium. They changed the name. You need an account to watch it, but what they've done is they've gone a little bit lax. Last month, they put up season one, the entirety of it, for free with ads, so you could watch it without a subscription. Now that's run its course, and then from September 11th, which was yesterday onwards, you can watch season two. But it's not the whole of season two. So episodes one and two are out now, and every week they'll release a new one. And they've released two, and there's 10 episodes in the series. So it's going to be for about 2 months they're going to show these. And rumors are, and again, this is why we're talking about it now, is that after those 8 weeks, they're going to make a new announcement about season three, which is going to come out in 2020. So we're expecting a trailer or something.
Or maybe they'll just drop it straight away. That'd be awesome.
That would be cool. In 2 months, it's still going to be 2019, so I don't know about that. But I did just want to talk about the show because it's really good. Like, from the premise, you're like, oh, that's kind of, who wants to watch that? When this was announced, people were quite angry. They were like, oh, recycle culture, reboot culture, you know, to the max, right? But man, this show is good. So it's quite strange because the main character is actually John Lawrence, right?
Yeah.
The bad guy from the first movie.
Hero in some people.
Yeah, so I was going to get to that. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, Daniel LaRusso is the real bully. But he was, Kreese is actually the real antagonist. But, you know, he was the bad guy in the first movie. But he's actually the protagonist in these movies.
Okay.
And I won't spoil a lot, but the basic plot is that he moves into he's living in like one of those low rent places in just like Daniel was in the original movie. It like almost looks exactly the same. So, you know, what's it called, story parallels or whatever. And then the exact same thing happens. There's this new kid who moves there. His name's Miguel Diaz. He gets attacked by bullies, and then Johnny Lawrence beats up the bullies just like Mr. Miyagi did, you know.
Is there a wax on wax off kind of parallels?
So, okay, I'm going to get to that because the writing in this thing, they don't recycle it like you think like that. They do a lot of smart stuff with it. Like, I think with the wax on, wax off stuff, when he opens a dojo, which I was going to get to, but you wanted to jump in. So when Johnny opens his dojo, Miguel asks, like, how do you want me to clean this? Like, this way or this way? And he says, I don't give a crap, whatever's faster. So there's a lot of really good moments like that. They're like, oh, he's going to say the line. And then they either don't say the line or they say it in such a way where, like, the writers knew what they're doing. And I'm going to get to the writing now, but I just want to get through, like, the initial plot. So he helps this guy Miguel, and then Johnny comes into some money, and it's like his last dollars, and he uses it to buy a studio, and he turns it into a new Cobra Kai. So that's the beginning of it, and I won't go into more because I'm going to suggest you watch this. But you know, Daniel LaRusso then gets involved, and then Kreese comes back, and you know, a lot of stuff happens, and half of it you see coming, either from what happened in the other movies or just, you know, because you can figure it out on your own because you're a smart cookie. But it's so much fun the way they get there, and the writing is what gets it there. I think it would have been easy to make this a cynical show that people thought it was going to be, but because of those little moments and the general high quality of writing, it's so good. Like, I keep thinking about this one scene. So the joke about Johnny Lawrence is that he's still stuck, decades ago. It was the 70s or 80s that the original movie.
So I'm going to say 80s.
I think it was 80s, yeah. Yeah, I remember them talking about 80s movies. He's basically stuck there, right? He doesn't know what a smartphone is. He doesn't know what the internet is. you know, he's
typical boomer.
Yeah, he's still got that old mentality. Like, he calls everybody a pussy. He insults people. Like, he uses words that you're not supposed to be allowed to say anymore, whatever. But yeah, he doesn't do it maliciously. It's just that his mind is stuck there. Like, my favorite part is one of the main characters, Miguel. They're doing like practicing at the beginning, and he says, "Hold on, hold on." He's out of breath, and he takes out an inhaler and he uses it. And Johnny's like, "What the hell are you doing?" It's like, "I have asthma." And he like knocks it out of his hand, and he's like, "There's no asthma in this dojo." And then after that, he doesn't bring it up again, and people are like, "Asthma doesn't exist." You see?
Yeah.
And then there's this other kid, and he says, "Are you special?" And he's like, "My mom thinks I may be on the spectrum." He's like, "Spectrum of what?" And it's just, there's such good writing in it that really makes it fun to watch. And I'm going to spoil a bit. You watch a little bit, and this is basically a drama, right?
Mm.
I think the first movie was kind of like a sports underdog movie.
Yeah.
But this is a drama. It's more about what's happening between the characters and how karate is like a framing device for that.
Mm.
It's not just a movie about karate. Okay. That would be kind of ridiculous, yeah, right? To make 20 videos about kids punching each other. So you need...
That's fine to me.
Yeah. You need...
Daddy, your five's back?
Yeah. No, Brendan, no. Don't do it. So you need like 80% of the show to be this drama to make the 20% of the action.
Awesome.
Yeah. And the fighting choreography is so good. I'm so impressed with how good it is. There's, again, I won't spoil it, but there's a part in the second season where it is a hallway fight. I know we're kind of like tired of those from Daredevil and some of the Marvel shows, but there's a hallway fight, and I think it goes on for like 10 minutes. And it's like one shot. It's probably not a shot. It's probably edited. But it's an extremely long single take. And these kids are just beating the hell out of each other. It's fantastic.
Why aren't these kids in school?
Okay, so they're all teenagers. And
yeah, yeah, you go to school.
Yes, it's in the school. The fight's okay. In the school.
Oh, and, that's fine, yeah.
Okay. And it's funny because...
As long as they're fighting at
because
school.
there's like two security guards, and one of them gets beat up because like the kids are the same size as him. But then there's two little kids fighting, and then the big security guard comes and just like picks them up by their collars. And they're like trying to fight each other. And then another great part about this is that the dojo's kind of come back. So it's called Cobra Kai. It's about Cobra Kai. And Johnny Lawrence opens that. But then Daniel LaRusso opens what's called Miyagi-Do Karate. It's got a long name, like Miyagi-Do Karate School or something like that. And then there's kind of like a war going on where some kids are in that dojo and then some kids are in the other. And then they decide, oh, I don't like this dojo. So they go to the other one. And then they like go back and forth. And some people have complained that it's a bit like cyclical, you know, oh, he's at that dojo and then he's at that one or whatever. But I think it does a really good balance of mixing. You can't get everything done. It's not, you can't get everything done in one episode. You need to stretch it a little bit, but it makes that fun. And it's one of those, if you get irritated by the fact where like somebody walks in a room and you're doing something strange and then they rush off, instead of saying, just wait, you know, I can explain this to you in literally 60 seconds if you just stop for 1 second. Instead, we're going to fight about it for half a year, right? It's one of those shows, if that bothers you, that happens a lot in this, kind of just roll with it. It pays off. And yeah, I don't know if you guys want to ask anything about it. There are a lot of new actors with the
returning actors. Does Hilary Swank make a cameo? She was in Karate Kid Part 4.
Oh, wow.
Don't test me, I know my canon.
Wasn't it 3?
No, I think it was definitely 4.
No, because the second one they go to Japan. Not Japan.
Filmed in Hawaii, actually. Not filmed in Japan.
No,
don't test me on these things.
I didn't say they went. They didn't even go to Japan. They went to what's Hawaii. Called. Anyway, and then anyway, it doesn't matter. She hasn't been in it yet. But you might. I wouldn't be surprised because they brought back everybody else.
Well, I mean, to bring back two-time Oscar-winning actress is gonna quite a feat.
I think she wouldn't have come back if it was like the first season and a lot of people had doubts about the show. I think now that it's had a second season and it's been cemented as a really good show, and now there's a third season, I think she could come back.
Here's my prediction: she'll come back as the third Karate like Dojo Master for the third season.
Maybe. No. Well, we don't know, right? And then season 2 kind of ends on a cliffhanger about some other people who might come back. And yeah, and then I've heard that there's some rumors that Daniel LaRusso goes back to Japan. Again, it's not Japan. What's that island called?
Okinawa.
It's Okinawa, yes. He goes back there in season 3, and that's kind of all we know about it right now.
That would be cool.
Yeah, it would be cool. And yeah, it's really good. I recommend people watch it. So episodes 1 and 2 of season 1 are always available to watch for free, because they're like, you know, to get people into the show. And then for the next month or so, episodes 1 and 2 of season 2 will be up. And then depending on when you watch this, more listen to this, more episodes of season 2 will be
up. So, sorry, when does it end precisely, this free availability?
So from the 11th of September, it should be for 2 months, right. 8 weeks. I don't see it ending before then, unless something happens. But yeah, and then I don't know if what they're going to do after those 2 months. Are they going to go back to only premium subscribers can watch it? Is everything going to be free? Is there going to be some big announcement for season 3? We don't know yet. And I also assume when season 3 comes out, they'll make more of them free just to watch. And just remember, there's two big things to remember. One, it is free, but it has ads if you're watching it without a YouTube premium subscription. And you might need a VPN. So it's weird. In South Africa, for example, we have official YouTube premium support, and I have an active subscription, but I actually can't watch the show without a VPN. I had to send it to South Africa. You can watch like episodes 1 and 2, and then I'll get to episode 3 and it'll say not available in your country. Oh, why? Why though? And then I put on a VPN and it's like, yeah, what's the risk? We don't care. We don't check that stuff that closely. So yeah, guys, I really recommend you watch this. I think it's, by a large margin, the best show. The best, what do they call them? YouTube original, right?
Yeah.
I think the second best is like Impulse. Impulse is okay. It's getting a second season, I think, end of this year. Did you guys watch any of Impulse?
No.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. It's just a teenage girl gets superpowers kind of show. And it's okay, but it's. I don't think it's got anything special. And I really think Cobra Kai is a special show and you should watch it. Yeah. And we're going to end with you, aren't we, Brendan?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about another piece of original content, this time from Netflix, though. And this is, I want to talk about this because it stars an actor that really blew my socks off. So you might know him from movies such as The Dictator, Ali G, and Borat. Sacha Baron Cohen. He plays the role of Israeli spy Eli Cohen, no relation at all, who infiltrated the Syrian military government and pretty much just spied for Israel during the Syrian and Israeli war in the 60s and 70s. I think it was around about there. But what I want to talk about is just this show. It literally just came out of nowhere for me. I sat down on Friday night, was looking for something to watch. I saw Sacha Baron Cohen. I was like, I really don't want to watch a comedy right now. I'm not in the mood for it. Ignored it. And then on Saturday afternoon, I decided I would start watching it. And I could not stop. It is incredible. So the story follows Eli Cohen, who, if you don't know, as I told you, is a spy in the Israeli army or for Mossad, the Israeli intelligence services. And it's just a really, really incredible look at how a spy in that era lived, especially in the Middle East. So it starts off, we introduce to Eli and his wife, who have a very simple life. He's an analyst for an insurance broker. She doesn't appear to be working. They have a very simple life. You see them leaving notes to each other, very loving relationship.
Oh, someone's getting shot.
I don't want to spoil things, I mean, this is based on real life events.
Yeah.
So Eli Cohen was a real person. And yeah, so in the introduction, you get introduced to this guy and you're like, oh, this person's really awesome. But you slowly start to learn that he has really big aspirations. He wants to be a spy. And we go through his training. We see a little training montage, which is really good. Very well done, very well filmed. Not too long, not
too
short.
Did Sacha Baron Cohen get jacked for this role?
No, he didn't, actually. I mean, he's a very scrawny person. If you see photos of Eli Cohen, the real Eli Cohen, you'll see that he's a very scrawny gentleman. I mean, very unassuming, doesn't look tough at all. But there are moments where you see that this guy does have a little bit of strength behind him. He's not just a pushover. Anyway, we are then introduced to Cohen's alter ego, who is... Now, what's his name? I forgot his name now. It's really long. Kamil Amin Thabet, who is a wealthy business person from Buenos Aires, who wants to go back to Syria and be a patriotic countryman. Obviously, that's not true. He's a spy that wants to gather information. But it's just really incredible to see how Sacha Baron Cohen and this Eli person establish relationships with people and then slowly work their way up. But more than that, it's also just a really fantastic story of humanity and how people, what people are willing to sacrifice in the name of patriotism or in the name of their country or in the name of war. It's really, really just incredible. The writing is some of the best I've seen from Netflix in a very long time. And I'm not even just like, Orange is the New Black is cool, Black Mirror is good, but like this is on another level of writing. There are moments where there is nothing being said, but exposition is being shouted at you. It is very well done. In terms of visuals, the cinematography is incredible. They use a very clever filter effect to kind of show you when things are happening in different timelines. And sometimes I find that really annoying in some films, especially when there's like a little sound effect that goes with it. And this just kind of, the filter changes from one scene to another, and your brain just kind of automatically switches over, and it really helps with pacing as well. In one of the final episodes, there's a constant chop and change between filters and scenes, and you don't know what's going on until right at the end. It's very, very well done. Like, if you are a cinema nerd or a camera nerd or cinematography nerd, I absolutely recommend watching this just for that alone. I do want to give a bit of a shout out to Hadar Rotzen Rotem, who plays the wife of Sacha Baron Cohen, Nadia. Her performance is heartbreaking, like in a good way. It will have you writhing around on the floor in pain. It is so good.
Can't wait to watch it.
It's really, really good. Like, I know that sounds really bad, like, oh, don't watch this because you're going to cry, but it's that good. Mm-hmm. It's the emotion that this actress portrays is, you would think that it's her real husband, you know, like, it's so, so good. But the only issue that I have with the series is that it is very, very short. It's like, only like six episodes. It's a 6-episode limited series, as Netflix calls it. I do feel that they could have maybe stretched that out to like 4 and explored some more of the timelines. Obviously, this is based on true story, so you don't really want to make stuff up.
I'm assuming this is a complete story with Netflix, that 6 episodes.
Yeah, absolutely. So you are introduced to Eli Cohen. You see his rise through the espionage ranks in Mossad. Then you see him in the field, and then culminates in, I don't want to say because it's based on a true story. If you know the story of Eli Cohen, you'll know how it ends. If you don't, my recommendation is to finish watching the series and then go read up about him, because it's really sad, very, very sad. But Sacha Baron Cohen in this movie, just damn. Like, I never took this guy as a serious actor. And maybe that's because of Borat and Bruno and The Dictator and all these comedy movies that he's done. I think we kind of got a taste with it with the This Is America documentary that he did, where he went around and he tackled serious topics in a more humorous way. But there was always that humor. With this, there's not really humor. Even when Eli is trying to be funny, it comes across as awkward. You know, like, you're not a funny guy. You're like supposed to be quiet and reserved. And he portrays that so wonderfully. There's never a moment where you're like, oh, there's Borat. Never. You are convinced that this is Eli Cohen the entire time. And I want Sacha Baron Cohen to do more of these movies, please. Or do more movie acting like this, because he is such a good actor. The emotion, the range that this guy has. He's just, there's moments, all right, where he is with some Syrian soldiers in a bunker with a mounted machine gun aimed at Israeli children. And he has to pull the trigger because these people are telling him to. And he has to maintain his cover. And you can see the internal torment that takes place in his head in those moments. It's just incredible. Absolutely incredible. As I said, just go and watch it. Go and watch The Spy. If you think you're going to dislike it, you won't. I guarantee you. It is a fantastic piece of cinematography. It's a fantastic piece of TV to watch. and it will change your outlook of Sacha Baron Cohen completely. And at the same time, you will learn something about our world because it's based on a true story. So that's always good.
How many episodes?
There's six episodes of around an hour to 45 minutes, or 45 minutes to an hour each.
That's a decent length, I think.
It is decent.
A solid binge watch.
Yeah, absolutely. If you can binge watch one thing this week, do that.
So I have a bit of a weird question.
Yeah.
Have you watched Chernobyl?
Yes, I have.
Okay. If you only have time in your life for one very serious docudrama based on real events, which one would you pick?
The Spy.
Geez, that type of
Chernobyl. Chernobyl's really good, but I feel that it's very... Like, there's nothing wrong with it. I really enjoyed that. I don't want to discount it. It's a very good show. But The Spy, there's just something, that little bit extra. It's got that just that pushes it over the edge. And you sit there and go, damn. And I think it's just a whole package. The editing is really well done. The dialogue is well done. The audio mix is very good. It's just, what a fantastic thing. Watch The Spy on Netflix. It's an original. If you have a subscription, go out and watch it.
And watch Cobra Kai if you need something more lighthearted.
Just don't watch it on an iPhone, though. That's going to be us for this week, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining me, Robin.
Yeah, no problem.
And thank you for joining me, Clinton.
It's my pleasure, Brent.
And we'll see you next week. Cheerio, everybody. Bye. Everybody. Bye. Cheers.